calls me home. Amen. And we just keep on smiling, keep on grinning, and experiencing the joy of the Lord till He gets here. Amen. Very simple passage this morning. Turn to John 3:16. John 3:16, I was at a fellowship meeting this week, and again, the subject of the love of God came up, and this is a subject we've been just dancing all around and the last 3 or 4 weeks. Seems like the message has come up a lot on forgiveness and love, and maybe the Lord just knows this is what we need, and this is the subject I want to get on this morning. It's been several years since I preached on John 3:16, maybe as long as 10 years, and I said, man, that should never happen. It should never happen. And what a wonderful and fantastic verse and a message that John 3:16 has for us. There was a story told of a young pastor over in England. And D.L. Moody visited England, and D.L. Moody preached, and many thousands of people were getting saved, great revivals taking place. And the young man walked up to D.L. Moody and said, hey, I would love to preach at your church. Of course, D.L. Moody being an older man and the man being a very young man, D.L. Moody kind of chuckled in his heart, but he just kind of offhandedly said, all right, when you visit Chicago, when you're our way, look me up, and I'll let you preach. Anyway, a couple of years, or I don't remember the whole story, but several years passed, and one day, on a Sunday morning as such, a young man approached D.L. Moody and said, hey, do you remember me? And D.L. Moody said, no, sir. He said, well, I'm over in England. And he reminded him. He said, hey, when you said if I was to come over, you'd let me preach. And D.L. Moody, with a sigh, said, all right, you can have it. The young man got up and preached John 3:16 that morning. And the whole crowd was just hushed. Just was amazing. D.L. Moody, just feeling the presence of the Lord, said, hey, I'd like for you to come back and preach tonight. And the young man came back and preached that night. He preached on John 3:16. D.L. Moody, again, just feeling the Spirit, feeling the overpowering Spirit of the Lord, said, hey, we'd just love to have you come back and preach through Wednesday night, through Friday night. And every night he preached on John 3:16. And the crowd came back just to see what else this young pastor, this young preacher could get out of John 3:16. Let me tell you, it's limitless. This verse is limitless of what could be preached and taught out of it, the messages that are there. For God so loved the world. Look there at John 3:16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love. We thank You, God, that You have displayed Your love toward us and by sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. And God, again, help us this morning to see that afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Love is giving without expecting anything in return. That's what my dad said over and over to us as kids, and just reminiscent of every time I think of my dad, I think of Christmas and the message that he would teach us at Christmas. I'll never forget one year, my aunt and her kids showed up for Christmas, and my mom and dad didn't know they were going to be there, and they showed up, and my parents hadn't bought gifts for them, but they had bought gifts for us, for my dad's kids, and so that year we didn't exchange gifts. The aunt just gave us gifts. And for years after that, I mean years after that, that's all we heard. I gave your kids gift, but you didn't give my kids any. That is not giving without expecting anything in return. That is not love. Again, we think of love. We think about giving to the church. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The Bible says give as unto the Lord. As we give at church, we are to give without expecting anything in return. We think about giving something. We think about giving to our spouses. Giving to our spouses. Men, you know, you come home with the flowers. And notice I said it right that time. Everybody get that? I always say flyers. You come home with the flowers and give them to the wife and maybe a box of candy or whatever you give her, and you kind of give her that wink. That's not giving without expecting anything in return. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God loved us. For God so loved the world. Again, we think back to the very beginning of our new life in Jesus Christ and the experience that we all experienced, those who were saved this morning, of the tremendous love of God when we accepted Him as Savior. Remember how you felt? Remember how you felt? You said, well, preacher, you've said salvation is not experience. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I experienced something. And I absolutely did. And I felt something. And the overwhelming love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the overwhelming love in that He saved me from hell and gave me a home in heaven, the overwhelming love in that He gave His life for me, He shed His blood for me, that overwhelming love that we experience. As we think about this love, we think about all the ingredients found in this love for a lost person to have eternal life. The love of Jesus Christ. As we think about this verse, look back with me. It says, for God so loved the world. And again, we've heard this preached on 1,000 times, some of us. But why would God love us? Why would God love this? Why would God love this world? David contemplated that. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? David contemplated as he sat there on those pastures watching over the sheep. He looked up into the stars and just simply said, God, why are you mindful of us? Why do you think about us? You know why? Because He loves us. 1 John 4:16 says that God is love. God is love. Again, love as I've defined it, as my dad defined it, as giving without expecting anything in return. We'll give a couple of definitions in just a moment. But you can't measure the love of God. I know I've said this before and I've said it many times, but you ought to have in that verse, John 3:16, the word so circled or highlighted or are bold. I do several things in my Bible. Sometimes I underline, sometimes I'll bold it, the particular word, or sometimes I'll circle it or I'll square it or I'll do something. But that word so, for instance, for God loved the world. You could say it like that, couldn't you? Right? But that's not how Jesus said it. For God so loved the world. Why is that? Why did He say it like that, the word so? That's because the word so cannot be measured. There's not a measurement for the word so. For God so loved the world. God didn't just love the world, but He so loved the world. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God showed His love in that He sent His only begotten Son to shed His blood for us that our sins might be covered. The propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation simply means a covering. That He covered our sins. And let me read that verse again. Herein is love. Let me tell you what love is. Not that God loved us. Not that we loved God, I'm sorry, but that He loved us. He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. A covering for our sins. Though we were wretched and vile and undone, God loved us. Still loves us. As Christians, you think about your life since you accepted Him as Savior and how many times in your Christian life you've taken Him for granted. How many times in your Christian life you rebelled and sinned against Him. He still loves you. Because His love isn't measured. It so loved the world. I want to remind you again that He loved the world. For God so loved the world. 1 John 2:2 says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, the covering for our sins. He shed His blood, and His blood covers our sins, blots them out, covers them up. For He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is not only the propitiation, the covering for my sins, not only did He cover my sins, but He is the propitiation, He is the covering for the whole world's sins. For God so loved the world. Let me remind you again that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want to see anyone die and go to hell. God did not create hell to satisfy His wrath. As His wrath could not be satisfied in hell, or else His Son would not have to die. The Son of God dying on the cross satisfied His wrath. But the wrath that we have for sin is hell. But the satisfaction for God's wrath is found in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was sat. Don't think that God is stepping over hell, smelling it in and saying, oh, I got them. Don't think He steps over hell and says, I feel better now. No. He's not willing that any should perish. Those people in hell are not there to satisfy His wrath. The Bible says the hell was made for the devil and his angels. Listen, Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life. The God of the universe became flesh, the Bible says, lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, went to a Roman cross and there died, not for sins He had done, not for crimes He committed, but for our sins, shed His blood, died and was buried, and rose again on the third day. Why? To be propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world. There is a group of people out there who believe that Jesus Christ simply died for a few. He didn't die for a few, He died for all. There's some out there who believe He just died for the elect. He didn't die for just the elect, He died for all. That little saying we use a lot, and you, if you're interested, it says that Jesus Christ's blood was sufficient for all, but efficient to the elect. In other words, Christ died, His blood being shed was efficient for everybody. I mean, sufficient for everybody. He didn't just die for certain individuals. Amen? I'll just go ahead and say we're not Calvinists. Amen. Jesus Christ died for all. He died for the whole world. He's not willing again that any should perish. His blood is sufficient to cover the sins of everyone who's ever been born and ever will be born, to cover their sins. Amen? For God so loved the world, we can spend a lot of time, that what? He gave His only begotten Son. That He gave His only begotten Son. Again, love is exemplified for us here, and that God gave His Son. Love is exemplified in here that in Christ giving His life for us. Again, the greatest example of righteousness, righteousness means right living, the greatest example of right living is that Jesus Christ gave His life for us, that we might have eternal life. The greatest display, example of love is Jesus Christ giving His life for us, and that our sins might be covered, our sins might be forgiven, and that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven. Amen? That's love. The gift of God. For God gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love is always measured. Listen to this. Love is always measured by the sacrifice made by the person doing the loving. You measure the love of somebody by the sacrifice the person makes. I'll go over that again in a moment. And think about King David. They had just went through a great battle, and they were very tired and just very tired. And King David was very thirsty, and he looked down on the well of Bethlehem, and he said to some of his men, kind of offhandedly, just said, "Hey, I'd love to have just a cup of water from the well at Bethlehem." Well, the well of Bethlehem was surrounded by their enemies, but a few of his mighty men of valor, after hearing that their king wanted a drink of water from that particular well, from the well at Bethlehem, broke through the battle lines, went and got a cup of water, and brought it back to King David. How many believe that's a little sacrifice? Willing to give your life so that your king can have a drink of water out of the well at Bethlehem. What a great sacrifice these men made. That's love. By the way, when King David got the water, he didn't drink it. Because of the sacrifice that was made, he gave it. He poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. And you said, man, he went through all that trouble and he ended up pouring it out? No, those men, by him pouring it out, was a great testimony to those men and that the sacrifice that was made for that. The sacrifice, love is measured by the sacrifice made by the person doing the loving. To show us how much He loved us, God gave His only begotten Son. All of us could use the same example, or most of us could, in that I would say to you this morning, I have three boys. I have a fourth one as well, and I wouldn't give any four of them for your life. If we were out in the desert and I had just a little bit of water left, and it was me, you, and them, it would go to my boy. If there was a truck coming and I only had one opportunity to save the two people in front of that truck, and it was my boy and you, I'd save my boy. I'm just being honest, right? I mean, we're all built that way. That's our kid. Do whatever we can, amen? Amen. But But God gave His only Son. I have four. God gave His only Son. His only begotten Son. Gave. What a wonderful gift God gave to us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we just talked about that. The wages of sin is hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave His Son in order that we might escape hell, the wrath of God, and have a home in heaven. God gave His only begotten Son as a gift. He gave it. God did not give His Son in a normal fashion. But God commendeth or showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Philippians chapter 2 says, even that Christ died the death, even the death of the cross. This was not a normal death. This wasn't getting out in front of a truck. That's not a normal death either. But getting out, this wasn't a normal death. He didn't die of cancer. He didn't die of whatever it may be. He died a death unlike any other person has ever suffered. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was smitten. Then he was hung on that cross. He was hanged on that cross for us. The nails were put in His hands and His feet. But when about 3 o'clock came, God turned His back on His only Son. And there not only did He suffer the physical pain and agony of the cross, but He suffered the spiritual pain and agony. He suffered there on that cross for our sins. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was the greatest display of love ever shown. How is that? He didn't have to. He was God. Hello? If you're God and you're above all things and you're sovereign and you're all powerful, can't you do anything you want? Amen. But He chose to give His life for us. Because He loved us as much as He loved Himself. Let's go ahead and get our second definition down, and the biblical definition of love is what? I give this to you all the time, but review is the best teacher. Again, God gave His only begotten Son for us. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us because it's what He would have wanted us to do had we been in His place. Amen. Jesus Christ displayed His love toward us by giving His life for us. The Bible says the law is love. The fulfilling of the law is love. What is the law? Doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I know that's the golden rule, but it's also... The Bible says in Matthew 7:12, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. And then Paul goes on to say in Romans, he says, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the law is doing unto others as you have them do unto you. And Paul says that love is the fulfilling of that law. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law on the cross in that He did for us what He would have wanted us to do for Him had we been in His place. How many of y'all got that? All right? He loved us. The greatest display of love is that Jesus Christ gave His life on Calvary and shed His blood for us. That He was the propitiation for our sins. He was the covering. His blood covered our sins there on that cross of Calvary. What a wonderful, wonderful example to us. For God so loved the world. He so loved us. Unmeasurable. And He loved the world. He loved everyone. And that He gave a gift. It's a gift. It's nothing earned. Amen? It's nothing that it's not by attending church. It's not by getting baptized. It's not by being a member of a particular denomination. But it's believing in Jesus Christ. For God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, let's go on through here. God gave His only begotten Son. I don't want to... The definition of love, biblical definition of love, is fulfilling of the law. Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is what I want to get to. Jesus Christ displayed and was the greatest example of love ever seen. John 14, verse 15, He says, if you love Me, Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. We show and we teach and we exemplify our love by our deeds. Jesus Christ showed His love for us by His deed on the cross. By His deed. We show our love by our deeds, not merely by our words. I want to remind you again today that Jesus says that we are to love others as He has loved us. Amen. How did He treat us? He gave His life for us. He shed His blood for us. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And when we think of others, we should think about what Christ did for us. And we should love. We should be selfless towards those around us, treating them as we would want to be treated. We think about our kids again this morning. Our kids, grandkids. Love is spelled T-I-M-E, not T-O-Y-S. Or, let's see if I can... I can't spell Sega or Nintendo. PlayStation? I can spell PlayStation. PS2. Yeah, PS3. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love is telling them, absolutely, but it's also showing them. Four things, quickly. Tell your kids you love them. Tell them you love them. Men, this is one of our areas. Tell them you love them. I love you. And doing as often as you can. As often as you can. Tell them. Show them by hugs and kisses. Hello? Anybody home? Show them. Christ displayed His love for us on the cross. He showed us His love. Tell them and show them. Again, by your time. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. It is the sacrifice you make to make it to those ball games, or it is the sacrifice you make by going out and taking them somewhere. It is the sacrifice you make. Again, a family illustration, I know, but growing up, my dad was, you know, pretty well just middle income. They spent all the money every year. It was gone. But every year we had a family vacation. And there were several years Dad made a sacrifice in order for us to go. He'd get 3 weeks vacation at his job, or four. He'd take two or three of those, work another job to save up the money so we could have a vacation as a family. He did that for several years. One year we had pork and beans the whole trip and Vienna sausages. Here it is. I'll eat anything. But Vienna sausages is borderline. I'll eat them. You put them out on the table, I'll eat them. But man, ever since then, pork and beans and Vienna sausages just don't taste the same, even now, you know, 25 years later. But, you know, I remember as a kid the sacrifice Dad made for that. One year we roofed houses for 2 weeks with a contractor in order to take. I remember one year we cut firewood. And made money that way. Just various things. Dad made sacrifices for the kids. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love is, again, that sacrifice we make. How are we to be, to show our kids our love? By telling them and showing them by our hugs and kisses and time. By our testimony. Your life matters. How you live your life. And that you live your life at home as you would at church. That you're not a hypocrite. And then, lastly, your testament. The testaments. I tried to do four T's. But, it's laying down the law with your kids. I'm absolutely telling you, you want to display your love toward your kids, set boundaries for them. Because if you do the opposite, you don't love them. The Bible says if you do not spank them, if you do not discipline them, that you do not love them. In fact, it says you hate them. Pretty strong words, isn't it? But that's found in the book of Proverbs. Lay down the law. Give them boundaries. Teenagers especially need boundaries. Be consistent in your discipline. It displays love to them. We need to be consistent. We need to show our love towards others as Christians. We need to show our love towards our kids. We need to show our love towards our spouses. Again, it's the sacrifice we make for each other. As a spouse, we should sacrifice for one another. We shouldn't see what little we can do. But how much can we do? I'm talking about for our spouse. Are y'all still there? For our spouse. Husbands, it's not about how little we can get by with and she won't gripe at me. But how much can we do? Amen? Oh, I'll spend some time there. Sacrifice for each other. Husbands, it is about coming home. I know I'm that way many times, come home and just plop down on the couch. We've got to be careful. Sacrifice for each other. Love each other. Amen? Spend time with each other. Take all of that things that we have, but that time is so important. Love is measured by the sacrifice we make for one another. And then lastly here, Christians need to show their love for their families, but we sure ought to display our love towards those around us, especially towards those who are lost. I'm going to use the same tease. How do we show our love towards others around us? By telling them. By telling them. Telling them about, again, how you love them and telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. Tell them. Be a testimony to them. Yes, we must be a testimony. In order for our witness to be effective, our testimony must be effective. Must be right. In order for our witness to be effective, our testimony must be right. In other words, you can't witness to a neighbor. You can't witness to a cousin or an aunt when you are a hypocrite. Your testimony destroys your witness. Hello? But we display our love, we show our love towards those around us by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. By being that testimony we ought to be to them. By being the testimony, by living right. Not about just dressing up on a suit on Sunday, but it's about being a Christian during the week. I'm telling you today, it's just so rampant today where churches are no longer preaching it this way. But listen, we ought to live it like a Christian all week long, not just on Sundays. Amen? We ought to be that testimony. When I hear about various mega churches and the great people, amount of people that are saved, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, I always wonder, if that is true, if that church is making that great of impact, why is it not making an impact in society? Because for the most part, their testimony is shot through the week. They're still as crooked as they ever were in their business. You know? They're still drinking. They're cussing. They're still doing all the things that they did before they got saved. Listen, we ought to be a testimony. We ought to show our love toward other people by being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in front of them. Warn them. Warn them. Warn them that Jesus is coming. Warn them that there is a day of reckoning. That hell is real. We must warn them. That's love, isn't it? Again, if you saw a house on fire and you didn't stop and try to do something about it, get people out of the house, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That'd be so selfish of you. But listen, there are people all over the world today and in your neighborhood that are dying and going to hell. And what have you said about it? And have you told them? We must tell them. We must show our love. Jesus Christ showed His love toward us by giving His Son for us. And we must show our love towards others by telling them of the Lord Jesus Christ and telling them of the good news of salvation. Telling them of how to escape hell and have a home in heaven. I'm just looking forward to that day. I'm just biding my time right now. Amen? As it was just sung. I'm just waiting for the trumpet to sound and for Jesus Christ to return. Then we see, lastly, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love that word, whosoever. Then we see here the plan of salvation, that we must believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His resurrection. And as we believe in Him, we have everlasting life. I do want to say it's believing and trusting. It's not giving your life to Jesus that saves you. Well, that's the rhetoric. That's the language that's being used today. Just giving your life to Jesus won't save you. Giving your life to Jesus will not save you. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He lived a sinless life, believing that He died on an old rugged cross, believing that He rose again on the third day, and when you believe and you put your trust in Him and Him alone as your only means of salvation, not putting your hopes in a church or putting your hopes in an individual, putting your hopes in your good works, but putting and placing all your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing and trusting that His life, His death, His resurrection will keep you from hell and give you a home in heaven. Amen? It's trusting and believing in Him. After you trust Him, you give your life to Him. Amen? Put your trust and hope in Him. The plan of salvation for whosoever believeth in Him. Believeth. That word believeth means trust in Him. For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Oh man. There's people all over the world today perishing. Every second. People dying and going to eternity to devil's hell. That was never intended for them. But nobody's told them. Nobody's said to them. Nobody's given them the message. People perishing today when they don't have to. If we simply get the message to them, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Are you here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you here this morning, maybe you've never believed and trusted in Him and Him alone? The Bible says if you believe and trust in Him, you'll have everlasting life. That is not a short term. That's a long term commitment. Amen? Everlasting. Forever. 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 Jesus Christ gave His life for us and gave us eternal life. We don't believe in a hope-so salvation, but a no-so salvation. We don't believe that a person, according to the Scripture, can get saved and then lose it, because the Bible describes it as everlasting life. The Bible says that there's joy in knowing that you're saved. Listen, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you can lay your head down on your pillow at night and you can know that you're going to heaven. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you've escaped hell, and it'll bring you great joy. Do you know you're saved this morning? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, we're going to sing here in just a minute a verse of invitation. You can get out of your chair and come down front, and someone up here, one of these workers, will show you from the Bible how you can have everlasting life that Jesus Christ gave you. That you can have eternal life. Christians, just a reminder this morning that Jesus Christ loves you. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for you. And we need to display that love to others. To our kids, to our wives, our wife, our spouses. Display that love to our neighbor, to our co-workers. Display that love to that cantankerous neighbor. Display our love to others. Jesus said, hey, it's easy to love those that love you. But the Bible also says we're to love the unlovable. Isn't that cool? Love those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Let's love others. That the love that Jesus Christ has displayed to us, let's love them. By the way, what you love generally comes out. What we love usually manages to get into our conversation, and what is down in the well of our heart will come up in a bucket of speech. What do you talk about? What do you spend your time doing? That's what you love. Let us love Christ. Let us love each other. Let's display that love. Let's don't just talk about it. Let's tell it. Let's don't just talk about it. Let's show others as Christ showed us. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of invitation.